Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to thank the Lord for his presence with us this morning. It's been like a very resting time in his presence. I'm always, it's a joy to be with you, and I want to thank you all for standing with me in this ministry, standing with the work of the Lord. As all of you know, we live in Nazareth. Me and my family, as we work in assisting and overseeing 35 churches in Galilee in leadership training, as well as in equipping the converts and promoting unity among the Jewish ministries and Arab ministries, and God is moving powerfully. Beside that, as I shared earlier, the last 2 days, the Lord has been using this ministry, International Leadership Seminars, where I travel around the world teaching leadership training in many parts of the world. Where so far, God gave me 30 nations now in leadership training. So the Lord blesses me with about 20 conferences a year. In Africa, in India, China, Middle East, and those countries that God is moving, saving a lot of people. And we're talking about conferences about hundreds of people. Like, I just came back from Africa. We had 500 in attendance in leadership in those conferences that leaders are really hungry for the Lord. They didn't have much training, but they have big churches. And some of them, they pastor more than one church. They wait for this conference all year around for such a time, for 4 or 5 days, because it's not the material that I teach, it's the presence of God. It's not the thing I tell them to do, but it's God that encounter these people, these leaders. So when the pastor is revived, when the pastor is encouraged, he's healthy, what happened? He's impacting his church. He's raising. He's extending the work of the kingdom. So I really appreciate you as a church. You've been very major part in the ministry that I do, with your giving, with your prayers. And I'm always blessed to have Pastor Mac with me. He went 2 times, and I'm trying to get him ready for the 3rd time. Hopefully next year. So he's a delight to have. He's a low maintenance guy. He just comes along. He doesn't complain. He said, "Andrew, you lead the way, I follow you." So I love to have him all the time. One time we were there were like a curfew in Nepal. We had we finished the conference, and there is no way we can go to the airport because of if you drive, they will burn your car. They will with rocks. And so I said, "How are we gonna we're gonna go to the airport? We're gonna miss the plane." So the Lord, I prayed. The only car that was able to go to the in the road was either a police car or an ambulance. So I called the hospital. I hired an ambulance. We gave them such money. And they, so I told Mac, "You're the sick one. I'm the doctor." we had the siren going on, and we're going very fast. We made it to the airport. So those are our adventures. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just ask you to pray. Next month, I'll be in Nepal, in Kathmandu. We will have a major leadership conference. Many are coming to this time and therefore refreshing. We're asking God to pour out his spirit on this nation. Nepal has been devastated by an earthquake. They're still recovering from almost over 10,000 people died in this earthquake. Over 150,000 homes were destroyed. So when we go there, we look at the situation, we say, "Lord, it's only you can shine again on this nation and restore this nation." So I really appreciate your prayers. I have 10 more days to go in America, then I'll go back to Israel. So in those 10 days, I need a lot of miracles to take place to raise the funds for the whole year. And I really appreciate your prayers so much. So this morning, how many here were Friday, Saturday? Okay, so I'm glad. The ones that did not come, I tell you, you missed it. You missed it. The Lord blessed us Friday and Saturday, but today we're going to continue what the Lord has been putting on my heart. Now, I'm going to talk about what happens to us. What happens to us when we see the glory of God? That is something that God's desire to manifest His glory. I want you to see that desire, the Father's desire, really to manifest His glory to His people. The Bible says that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the water covers the sea. So when we talk about the glory, is it like a beam, a strong beam, or a cloud? Or what is the glory of God? What is really, when the Bible says about what is the glory? The glory when God's person, when God manifests His person to us. When God says, I want to open my life, I want to open myself and manifest myself to you. I want to manifest my person to you. I want to manifest my nature to you. I want to manifest my character to you. You know, we're not just seeing a movie or a video passing by here. When God manifests His glory, what happened? You will never be the same again. All your needs will be met. You know, when Moses said, Lord, I have a deep desire in my heart, I want to see your glory. He said, you don't know what you're asking about. Who can see me and stay alive? So he said, okay, I'll arrange that. I will give you a dosage you can handle. So what God really manifested, He said to Moses, I will pass before you all my goodness. Hallelujah. If God passes from this window to that window, He just passes by and manifests Himself as He's walking by. What happened to you? The lingering presence, the lingering results, the impact because of His passing meets every need in our lives. Hallelujah. How many here will say, Lord, I want you to pass by and manifest your glory to me. God has a deep desire to have an encounter with us. When God manifests His glory, that means I am home. I don't need anything else. One time I was praying with two other men. They're worshipers, they're ministers. We didn't know what we're praying about. We said, Lord, we really need to see your glory. We didn't know what. Sometimes we pray big stuff. We don't know the depth of that. So we were in a room, and God came in such glory. Literally, we ran out to the road. We could not handle the power of God in that room. So if God comes, say, Lord, enlarge my heart. Don't run away. Just stay there. The lingering results of the glory of God, it's like the blessings of heaven is demonstrated over us. So seeing the glory, we saw the glory. Who saw the glory in the Old Testament? Moses saw the glory. When he saw the glory, what did he see? What God imparted to Moses, the righteousness of God, the commandments. He saw the glory. He saw the goodness of God. Now when we look at Isaiah, when he saw the glory in Isaiah 6, what happened? What did he see? He saw the holiness, the grace of God. Now, the Bible says, we saw the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. When people looked at Jesus, what did they see? They saw the glory of God manifested in the Son of the Living God. Now, I have good news for you. We can see the glory through the person of the Holy Spirit. He said, we all, with open face, looking what? We'll open face, seeing the glory of God. We are transformed. We're looking in the mirror. We're transformed through the Spirit to the image of Christ. So when the Holy Spirit comes, you know, I want to tell you something, that His glory is deeper than just His presence. It's more, it's more. When you say, Lord, I really need to see Your glory, you're talking about God coming to manifest His essence, His nature, His depth, His love. When God touches you with His love, when God heals you, that's a manifestation of His glory. Now, in the Bible, we see this subject of the glory of God fills the whole Old Testament to the New Testament. But we're going to talk this morning about Ezekiel. Ezekiel, when you read the book of Ezekiel, what happened? You see that prophet encountered the glory of God. He said, in the midst of the exile, I was in Babylon, where the trouble now, where ISIS is now. There, where ISIS is now, is really Ezekiel saw heaven were open and he saw the glory of God. No, the exile happened. Why God allowed the exile in the life of the Israelite? Why did God allow it? Do you know why? Because it was a judgment. When people become so rebellious, so stubborn, so proudful, they reject the mercy, they reject the love, what God says, okay, let's go to the exile now. It's a discipline. It's a time of judgment. Now what happened? God took the nation of Israel from Jerusalem all the way, and he put them in Iraq there, in Babylon. Now, look at this picture. The Bible says that the glory of God moved with the people to Babylon. Mean God left Jerusalem, his presence left Jerusalem and moved among the people that he was judging them. I have good news for you. If God allows judgment, He doesn't let you go by yourself. He comes and be with you again. So Ezekiel, one of the people, he was in exile, and he said, I saw the heavens were open, and I saw the glory of God. Now, when we look at Ezekiel, the whole book speaks about the glory of God, describing the power of God in restoration. How God can restore a nation through manifesting His glory. Now, I want you to believe this morning, God is able to restore this nation. Can a nation be born in one day? So what God can do in this nation, but God wants to raise up our level of faith, because that's the message from the Lord. I said, coming from Israel 10 days ago, I said, Lord, what? Give me a message. And he pointed out this message. He said, I'm about to manifest my glory in the nation of America. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? God has a destiny for you. God has a perfect destiny for us. He's not going to let us go just by the wind now. God wants to release His glory in a greater measure. Now we have to get ready. We have to get ready. Now, God manifested His glory to Ezekiel. Why? Because Ezekiel is going to carry a mission that is completely impossible, absolutely impossible. So when we talk about the glory of God in the book of Ezekiel, we're talking about the manifestation of the power of God to restore the impossible. Are you excited this morning? I'm excited more than you. How many believe God has enough power to restore this nation? God wants to raise up my level of faith, because it's all by His grace. God has to have mercy. God has to shine on us. God has to restore us. So when we look at Ezekiel, we're going to read a paragraph, you know, the whole chapter, all the book of Ezekiel, there is a central chapter there. The central chapter of Ezekiel is Ezekiel 37. And I would like my sister to come and read it. We're going to read 1 to 14. And these verses, I want to let you know that these verses came after Ezekiel saw the glory, and what happened to us after we were seeing the glory. This is what will happen to us.
The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord.
Hallelujah. Did you get it? What happened when God manifests his glory to you? Yes, he's going to meet every need. He's going to heal your heart. He's going to free you. But there's something beyond that. How many believe this morning that souls are more precious, more valuable than money? Take the money, but give me souls. Take the money, but I want souls. Now, Jesus came, Lazarus were four dead in the tomb there. He was 4 days dead in the tomb. What, you know, Martha and Mary came with such disappointment. He said, if you were here, my brother would not have died. What did Jesus told her? He told her, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Now, how many here will raise his right hand and say, Lord, I believe, I want to see the glory of God. So God is wants to raise up our level of faith. He's taking us to a new level to challenge the impossible. To challenge the impossible. Now, when Ezekiel saw the glory of God, he was ready. He was ready for the assignment, God's assignment. Now, there are four things quickly. Take notes. I love you to take notes. It will help you. You know, what happened to us when we see the glory of God? Number one, seeing the glory of God Seeing the number one, seeing the glory of God. What happened to us? Seeing the glory of God, His glory, is to discover both God and yourself. When God manifests His glory, why He's manifesting His glory? So you can know Him. You can discover Him. When Isaiah came to pray for the nation because Uzziah died and he entered to pray for the nation, what happened? I saw the Lord seated on the high throne, and the trail filled the temple, and the smoke and the glory, and the angels were singing. What happened? Now, for the first time, Isaiah is discovering the true living God. How many here would say, Lord, yes, I know you some, but I really want to know you. So when God manifests his glory, that means you are discovering God. You are discovering the Lord. Now, if God gives you an encounter, it will be enough to bring a lot of fruit for the rest of your life to the kingdom of God. If you have an encounter, you discover God. We remember when Jesus took Peter, go to the deep and throw the nets. And that was the first time Jesus meeting the disciples. Now they went into the caught a fish like supernatural fish. What happened? Now Peter discovered who Jesus is. He said, Lord, get off my boat. I am a sinful man. So whenever there is an encounter, the manifestation of glory, we discover who God is. Not just that, we discover ourselves. I will tell all the psychology treatments. If you want to discover yourself, get closer to the Lord. The more you get closer to God, the more you know who you are. The more you know yourself, the more really you know yourself. Now why? Because you will see yourself the way God sees you. When Peter saw himself, I'm a sinful man. What happened? What happened? He said, get off my boat. God says, no. Jesus said, no, I'm not getting off of your boat. When you discover yourself, put your eyes on Jesus. Because he has a new day for you. He's going to cleanse you, heal you, free you. What happened? He said, Peter, don't be afraid. Fear not. From this moment forward, you're going to be a fisher of men. Now he's discovering himself, then he's discovering also his calling. Now Ezekiel, when he saw the glory, what happened? He discovered himself. He knew himself. No, I can spend 1 hour talking about this point, but I have a short time, five points. Let's move to the second one. Seeing his glory, what happened? We are imparted with vision from heaven. When you see his glory, not just, I'm seeing God, discovering God. God says, no, I'm going to impart to you a vision, your assignment, your plan, your calling. I want to release that vision into your heart. When God manifest his glory, he's really manifesting his heart to us. He's sharing his heart, his burden with us. And exactly what God said to Ezekiel, I want you to see something. He took me to the valley of dry bones. And God was saying, can you see these bones? You took me to the worst cemetery there. He took him to a place where valley, it's dry, it's a multitude of bones scattered everywhere. And he see, can you see this? I can see. Can you see this? Yes, I can see. These are my people. God was showing him, opening his eyes to see what God is seeing. Now, when you see the glory, God has a vision for you. Not just that, but God has faith to impart to you faith for the impossible. How many here will say, yes, Lord, impart to me a vision to see what you are seeing. When God gives you to do something impossible, he's giving you faith for that impossibility. That's good preaching this morning. Hallelujah. That's good. We have a Christian couple in the church. The lady, she's like in the 40s. She had a liver failure. They tried to find a liver everywhere, nothing matching. It's impossible. So she started deteriorating her health, and the doctor said, you have 2 weeks to live. We went, me and another pastor, we went there. I didn't know what to pray. To be honest, I have no faith to heal that liver. I don't know, should I pray for to release her to go home? I stood there, but something in my heart, something was not, say, this woman should not die. This woman, she had a boy and a girl. It's not right. Something rose in me, like anger in me. I said, no, this woman should live. And the Holy Spirit whispered, says, if you believe, you will see my glory in this woman. I said, Lord, how this can happen? We've been months after months trying to find all the nations. We could not find a matching liver to her. There were 3 days left. You look at her face, dark like blue. She's dying. She was dying. She looked at my eyes with no answer. I didn't know. I prayed all my heart. Just 3 days before, we received a telephone call from a major hospital in Israel. They said, we found a match, found exact liver that woman needs it. I said, how this happened? They said, we have a lady soldier died in the battle, Israeli lady, soldier died in the battle, and she donated her liver, and that liver is matching to that woman's body. So we rushed her to the hospital. They changed that liver. 2 weeks later, she came and testified of the healing power of the blood of Jesus. Sometimes we reach a situation, we said, it is impossible. Absolutely was so impossible. And this is what God said to Ezekiel. I want to show you a valley of dry bones. Can you see these bones? Yes, I can see. Can you see the condition of the people? Yes, I can understand. The people are saying, we cut off, we lost all hope. There is no way we can be restored again. This is what I hear from Americans everywhere I go. We were cut off. We lost all hope. We dried up. There's no hope for us. Now I want you to believe God is going to manifest his glory in this nation. And this nation, will rise again. God used this nation to evangelize the world. Many entered, millions of people entered the kingdom because of the faithfulness of this nation. I came to know the Lord because an American missionary came and evangelized me. Led me to the Lord. So when we see the glory, what happened? God is imparting to us spiritual vision, imparting to us faith for the impossible. Hallelujah. Let's move to the third thing. What happened to us when we see the glory of God? When we see the glory, what happened? Let's put the seeing his glory takes us to intimate relationship and dialogue with God. How many here would like to be a friend of the Lord? You can be a child. You can be a son, and you can be a friend. Which one do you want? All three. A child, that's a legal, you know, if you receive Christ, you're given legal authority to become children. Son in the Bible means you're a mature believer. Mature son. But there's a higher level. I'm not just a child. I'm not just a son. I want to become a friend. I want you to see that dialogue took place between God and Ezekiel. They were talking, you know, passing by the bones, and God turned to Ezekiel. He was saying, that's a dialogue. In the original text, it's a dialogue. That's a friend talking to a friend. God said to him, to Ezekiel, he said, can these bones live? What do you think? Ezekiel, can these bones live? Well, he was asking his opinion, you know. It was a dialogue. Ezekiel said to God, you know, you alone know. Jesus said, I don't want to call you slaves. I want to call you beloved friends. Because slaves, they don't know what their master wants to do. But I call you friends, beloved, because if you are my friend, I will tell you what I would like to do. Slaves is centered on work-oriented. But beloved friends, they're more relational-oriented than work-oriented. So God is saying, I want relationship with you. When we see the glory, what happened? We really have a deep, close, intimate relationship with God. To a point that God, everything he wants to do, he comes to say, what do you think about this? He said, you alone know. That means in the natural, it's impossible. But you can do anything. You can do it. You can do it. God is inviting us to a higher level in relationship when we see his glory. When we see his glory, all the prophets, all the leaders in the altar, they saw the glory of God. That's why they became friends. That's why God says, my secrets, I reveal it to who? To the ones that fears me, to the ones that knows that level of friendship. I love that dialogue in the original text. It's really so, so neat. God is taking us to that deep relationship. Let's move to point number four. Seeing his glory allows us to partner with God in ministry. The Lord was saying, Ezekiel, can these bones live? You alone know that. Okay, let's do it together. You speak, I'll move. Did you catch it? You speak. You prophesy. Once you prophesy, I'm not going to move unless you speak. You prophesy to these bones, I'll move. I want to do it together. I don't want to do it by myself. Let's do it together. How many believe God can do it alone? He doesn't need us. Can do it. But I want you to see this principle clearly. God made a decision, a final decision. He's not going to do it alone. He wants your participation. That means he chose to do it with us. He said, you prophesy, I'll move. You know, sometimes we say, Lord, solve my problem. You solve it. You do everything and give me a golden plate ready, you know, solution. God says, no, I will solve the problem with you. How many here believe that God needs me? God, yes, is a sovereign, he's all powerful, but he decided to need you. He made a decision. And you know who knows that? The devil. The devil knows God is able to do alone, but he chose not to do alone. He chose to do things with us. So he's in need for me. God needs me. That's his decision. I'm not going to do anything unless you come through. You know, in the Old Testament, the devil was challenging God, and even he was insulting him. When Goliath was insulting the people of God 40 days, the devil was saying to God, listen, Goliath is my man. You don't have somebody. I have my man. The devil was challenging God. I have Goliath. Goliath is my man, but you don't have a man to challenge me with. You know, God can wipe Goliath and the devil in 1 second. But the devil knew God will not work alone. The devil knew God is not going to do things alone. He needs a man. That's why I sought among them a man to stand before me. That means he's always looking for a partner to work with him. He's always looking for somebody to take his act. You know, you have to take your role. I have to take my role. How these people can hear the gospel unless somebody goes there and talk to them. So the devil is insulting God because God has nobody to stand for him. Can you see that? Can you see it? How many here in this nation, so many people insulting God, and God says, where are my people to stand and speak? Can you see it? That's the scenario in Ezekiel. Ezekiel, I'm not going to move until you speak. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to restore this nation unless you take your role, you take your place. Once you speak, my power, my glory will move to restore this nation. So how many here this morning will say, Lord, I'm going to stand for you. I'm going to speak for you. I'm going to declare for you. Because once you speak, once you declare, what happened? God starts moving. You're not convinced yet. How many here in this town, so many people, sinful people, insulting my God every day, day and night? God says, where are my children? Where are my children to challenge the devil's people? Can you see it? Are you moved when you see somebody insulting your God? Are you moved? Why are we letting this country is being swallowed by so many people, and we are just saying, oh God, you cannot do that. No, we have to take our place and declare the word of the Lord over this nation. We have to declare the promises of God. This is a nation with covenant. No other nations on the face of the planet except Israel. But this nation is a nation of covenant. You need to stand, says, I'm going to declare your promises, your word, because once we start declaring what happened, God starts moving and restoring. We don't want the devil to take over the show. God is looking for one man, just one. When the devil insulted God through Goliath 40 days, the devil was telling God, listen, you don't have a man to stand for you. You don't have. But this morning, we have men and women that can stand for God and speak the word. How many will say, I am the man, I am the woman, I want to stand for you, I want to stand for you. You speak the word, and I will move. So I started to prophesy over these bones, and the power of God started moving, the glory of God. He knows the glory of God. The power, manifestation of the power of God. Imagine you go to a cemetery and all the bones start moving. What's going to happen? Like, if you speak to bones, how are they going to hear? Because the people of Israel, they don't want to hear the word of God. They're just bones. They were bones. Sometimes you speak, even the people, they don't want to hear the word of God. But you have to declare it. You have to speak it, not just in your heart. You have to shout it loud. I was in North India. We had a leadership conference in the morning times. In the afternoon, we have a crusade, open-air crusade. We thought there will be about 2,000 people there. We went to the open area, open field like that, and there were about over 13,000 people sitting on the grass. I looked at those people, full of demons, full of sickness, full of darkness. I said, Lord, if I want to lay hands on everybody, I need a week to finish. If I want to lead every personal prayer, it's impossible. How in the world we're going to get these people delivered, saved, healed? It's impossible. It looked like a valley of dry bones there. So I said to the pastors, they were Indian pastors, and I said, let's do something. We stood. We preached the word. We asked them to respond. 4 hours. But we stood to pray. We declared the presence and the glory of God to come on those 13,000 people that they need Jesus. You know what happened? When the presence of God, the glory of God hit that place, hit that valley, I mean, demons were leaving. Sickness it was leaving. Thousands and thousands of people were healed. Nobody touched them. Just the power of God, the glory was passing by over those people. Demons are out, healing sickness and disease. People getting saved by the thousands because we started declaring the word of the Lord. We have to declare the word of the Lord on the roads here. Business places over the nation. God will start moving. God will start moving. I want you to see here that some of the foundation God was restoring. Some of the foundation there. That's number five. Now number five. Seeing his glory allows us to experience signs and wonders in fulfilling God's purposes. It is impossible to see the glory of God without seeing the power and signs and wonders and miracles. Because that's when God comes, life comes, health comes, darkness is out, light has come. When God manifests his glory, when God comes in the place, there is no sickness, no death, no disease, nothing. Everything will be out because God manifests his glory there. Now, while Ezekiel was prophesying, what happened? There were five foundations were restored. God wants to restore five foundations in this story. While I was prophesying, the power of God start moving, and there was a sound of rattling, the bones start shaking there. Now the first foundation God wants to restore when we speak, repentance. When we speak the word of God, God is convicting, the Holy Spirit is convicting the hearts, they are shaking. under the power of God. They're being convicted inside. That's where Peter spoke to the 3,000 there. They got saved. When they heard the word, what happened? They were pierced in their heart. They were shaken, rattling there. How many believe God is able to restore the first foundation for this nation is repentance toward God? That's the result of seeing the glory of God. Why? People will turn to the Lord. People will come in agreement to say, Lord, I'm going to leave sinful life. I'm going to turn my back on the darkness. I want to turn my back on sin. I'm going to follow Jesus all of my life. That's the first foundation is restored. And I continue to prophesy. I continue to speak to the bones. While there was a sound of rattling, but then the second thing, bones start coming together. The leg is there, the hand is there. The skeleton is there. I mean, it's scattered. It's not just one full complete body there. It's a pile of bones. Nobody knows which hand is yours, which bones is yours, which leg is yours. So when I started prophesying, what happened? He said, all the bones start coming together. I'm speaking spiritually here, spiritually. The second foundation is the response of faith. The bones come together. First foundation is repentance toward God. The second foundation, faith in the redemptive work of Christ. God is going to restore the living faith in every heart. The bones start responding, coming back by faith. Now what happened? I continued to prophesy. I continued to speak to the bones. What happened? Suddenly those bones came, every skeleton came, you know, every bone came with its own bones, and suddenly I saw flesh, tendons, skin is taking place over those bodies. How many here God is able to restore new creation? The image of Christ will come back. People will get saved. People will be restored to have anybody in Christ. He's a new creature. He's a new creation. So God wants to restore the beautiful image. He's going to restore that. You look at the situation, you say, it's impossible. Everything is falling apart. Everything is going south. Everything, you know, we're just on a cliff. We're going to be completely, God says, okay, at that point, I'm going to restore America. I'm going to restore America. He's looking for you and for me. We have to start declaring the righteousness of God, repentance, faith over this nation, salvation over this nation. You know, when God saves people, what happened? That's the manifestation of his glory. I shared just earlier, every 24 hours in just India alone, you know, beside all other, in India alone, every 24 hours, over 16,000 people are getting saved by the blood of Jesus. That's a glory. So that's what God is after this nation. It's not the issue of just having good job, good income, decent. That's fine, but that's not the purpose of our being here. The purpose is that God is going to bring salvation to this nation. We're going to see souls running to this church. We're going to see souls from everywhere saying, we want to know the Lord. We want to come to the Lord. We want to experience the new life. So that's the third foundation. The fourth foundation, they look good, but they need life. They need the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So I start prophesying to the Holy Spirit, to the winds, to come and fill those bodies and with power, with life, so they can rise. So the fourth foundation, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every flesh. Is that just in the early church in the day of Pentecost, or he's gonna pour out his spirit on every flesh until Jesus comes? And we're gonna see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we never seen before. Before the coming of Christ, we're gonna see a great revival. That's what we're expecting after all this mess in the Middle East. We're saying, Lord, build that the highway from Assyria to Israel to Egypt. Bring that revival to come to the Middle East. The Muslims nations, they're the last group to receive revival. And that's our faith. Lord, we want to see revival in the Middle East. We're going to see revival in America. We're going to see revival in Asia. All the nations of the world. And it's happening. It's happening. You know, in China, every year, that's their estimate. Every year, every single year, over 8 million people are coming to Christ. Every year. So people, God is touching people, and we need to ask the Lord. We should prophesy now to the wind. Holy Spirit, come on us. Holy Spirit, come on this town. Pour out your Holy Spirit. And finally, and we'll pray. The last thing is, he said, then they stood. They stood as a great army, vast army of the Lord. Why that term is there? Why didn't say they rose like to be the bride of Christ or the church or something? No. Said all the nations of Israel rose as a great army of the Lord. The last foundation God wants to restore is our calling, our destiny. He's mentioning there the calling. What is the call? This is the time when God bring restoration. He's not just going to make you happy and you're good. No, you are a soldier because we're going to march and win the world to the Lord. Amen? So God is restoring five things while Ezekiel was speaking. He's restoring repentance. He's restoring living faith, responding to God. He's restoring salvation. He's restoring outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then he's restoring the calling. Why we exist, the destiny of our lives, to be a great army marching for the Lord and for his glory. Amen? Let's all stand before the Lord. God is inviting us, all of us. He's inviting us. Say, I have a great day for you. I really have a great day for you. I have a great beginning. I have a new level for you. Said, I desire to manifest my glory to you. I want you to go into prayer. Just go into prayer. Talk to the Lord. Tell him, I agree with this message, Lord, in my heart. I want this. Let his glory come in this room. And comes from here to the nations. Released from here to the nations. His glory in his church, in his temple. That's where the dwelling place of his glory. And you are the ones you're going to be transformed. You're going to see the glory of God. Tell him, Lord, I'm ready. I'm really. I need that encounter with you. I need to be immersed, engaged into that glory. Lord, I just pray. Help me to be ready to receive the vision that you want to impart my life. Help me to receive the faith for the impossible. Lord, today I want to be partner with you. I want to be close to you. I want to be a friend. I want to dialogue with you. I want to be a partner to serve you, Lord. I respond because you need me. I say, yes, Lord. I respond to you. Help me to be the man, the woman, to bring restoration, to restore the foundation to me personally, to the family, to my family, to my church, to my town, to my nation. We're not talking about feelings here. God is not talking feelings today. God is saying, I'm about to pass by. I have a day. I'm going to manifest my glory over this nation. Because I have prophetic destiny for this nation. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy and give up on what's happening. We're looking at a valley of dry bones. God wants to restore hope. He wants to restore spiritual life. He wants to connect this nation again. Position yourself spiritually. Maybe just a few moments, then we'll leave. Just position yourself spiritually. Say, Lord, I really want what Ezekiel experienced. I want it in my life.